Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
Now, Doug Jones has been in some of your favourite films and TV shows, but you've probably never seen his face. He's played Abe Sapien in Hellboy, he was in Pan's Labyrinth, he was the Silver Surfer in Fantastic Four, and he played the amphibian love interest of Sally Hawkins in The Shape of Water. He is, of course, currently starring in the wildly popular Star Trek Discovery, which I love, as Saru, and he will be in Dublin this weekend for the Comic-Con. I'm delighted to say the man behind the mask, Doug Jones, joins me on the line now. Doug, how are you today?
I am great today. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome to Dublin. Have you been here before?
I have never been in your fair country before. Never been in Ireland.
Well, in the intro, I was saying that you're a face people won't have seen. It's very true, isn't it? I heard you described as the most famous actor you've never seen.
That's very kind, and to think that I'm famous. but I think. I've had a 33-year career under lots of rubber bits, so that would include anonymity. Until this past couple of years, I've been getting more press and doing more interviews with my own face. And if someone recognizes me in an airport, they've either seen some of that press or they'll watch DVD bonus features where you can see like behind the scenes interviews and that kind of thing. So I know it's somebody who really who digs to find me.
Right. That's
So I get the best of both worlds. I can turn on the celebrity button when I'm on a red carpet and it's announced who I am and why I'm there. But then I can go to a coffee shop the day after and nobody knows who I am.
Wow.
So I really do get the best of both.
That really is great. You were saying over a 30-year career, a lot of which was hugely successful. But then it was the Hellboy role really changed everything, didn't it?
Yeah, back in, it came out in 2004, the first Hellboy movie, that's kind of what put me as a speck on the radar, is that, well, who's the guy that played that fish man? So then, and the internet was up and running by then, of course, so people could look me up, and that kind of started changing everything.
And that was the beginning of so many roles that you've played, where you've been under such varied layers of prosthetics.
Yes, right, and it also really cemented my relationship with director Guillermo del Toro. That was probably the most key part of the Hellboy movie, the first one. I had met him before that on Mimic, in 1997. But I'd only worked with him for about 3 days on that. But he did remember me, and came back for me 5 years later when we did the Hellboy movie, and after that, then of course. Guillermo del Toro is the kind of director who likes to keep people around him that he knows and trusts, and thankfully I became one of those people. So
wow.
Other movies followed, including Pan's Labyrinth and Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, then Crimson Peak and The Shape of Water. So I feel, and his TV series, The Strain, too. I was very very blessed by him over the last 20 years.
What a fantastic man to hook up with. He's so gifted and such great films to be turning to you for. You mentioned The Shape of Water, which is a fantastic film, and it has you, again, under heavy prosthetics, but playing a bit of a love interest in it. How difficult was that?
Well, that was a new twist for me. I played lots of monsters before, either funny or scary, usually. But to have a love interest that was actualized and completed, that love was consummated. So that was something new. When Guillermo del Toro first presented me with this role, he said, Dougie, you're going to be the romantic leading man of this movie. And I'm thinking, in a fish suit?
Yes.
Is that possible? But I did know that the Creature from the Black Lagoon was an early inspiration for him,
right.
As a monster lover and a filmmaker. As he explains it, when he first watched the Creature from the Black Lagoon as a little boy, he was kind of upset that they never got together all the way. That it was a great swimming moment when he was aware of her in the water, and he thought, oh, good, this might turn into a thing. And before long, it becomes a home invasion movie where they're in his natural habitat and trying to ruin his life.
Yes.
So he thought that was an injustice, and it took him 30-some years to right that wrong. But so he made a movie where the fish man gets the girl and gets to keep her, you know, keep her.
Not often that happens. You mentioned Guillermo watching TV as a child. When you were a child growing up, was Star Trek on your horizon?
Oh, it sure was. I was born in 1960, and 1966 is when the first original series started airing on network television here in the U.S. You can't be my age and not having grown up with Star Trek as being a part of your DNA almost.
I know.
I Kirk and Spock were my first, and then since then, of course, with every iteration of Star Trek since then, and the number of reruns, and you can't turn a TV on without flipping channels and becoming at least a casual fan as you land on Star Trek Next Generation, Deep Space Nine,
such great shows,
Voyager, Enterprise. There's enough out there, including all the movies too.
With that appreciation of it, were you nervous approaching Discovery?
Oh, of course, yes. It's a huge legacy to become a part of, and with a huge responsibility. The fan base is huge, broad, wide, and loyal.
Yes.
And you just don't want to get this one wrong, you know. So it does come with a lot of pressure on it. It's an honor, but it is a little bit nervous. But I was kind of happy, I was relieved, and for one reason is that I'm playing an alien species that's never been seen in the Star Trek lore before. So, yeah, I was able to help start and identify and build an alien species from the ground up, and not have to adhere to the fans' expectations of what came of what was before. Because if it was a Borg, if it was a Klingon,
yes,
if it was a Vulcan, there's rich history with other alien species that you want to get right. But as a Kelpian, it's like, okay, well then I don't have to. And I don't have to be measured up to someone else's standards. I get to start this from the scratch. But what comes with that, again, is that another huge responsibility to make this species memorable and nuanced and unusual and unique and yet to fit in with this universe that I'm now a part of.
You had great parts in series one, but in series two, there's going to be development of the character, is there? We're going to be going back and getting a bit of the backstory.
Yes, that's something I've been wanting to happen, because throughout season one, I wasn't even sure what my own background was. The writers hadn't really explored all that with me just yet. So now there is the short treks that came out. That are available on Netflix. If you look, and a lot of people have been having trouble finding those, so I can clear that up, I think. If you find the Star Trek Discovery page on your Netflix, scroll down and look for trailers and other things. And if you look in that section, you should see the short treks. And there will be four short films that are in the 15 to 20 minute range that are just great, and mine. There's one that explores my backstory. You get to see where I came from, meet Saru before he ever was even aware of Starfleet, and see how that meeting happened. So that was a great backstory. Then to go into a couple of episodes here in season two that are very Saru centric.
Right.
I've been through a lot this year.
Brilliant. Well, I have to say, it may be uncomfortable for you, but it's brilliant for us. So, and as you play a character who's been farmed as prey growing up and has this, what exactly is it that represents when there's a threat around you? There's some part of your body that reacts to that?
Yes, that would be the threat ganglia that come out of the back of my head and kind of spike out. It's kind of an instinctual reaction that happens that I can't control.
So it's
rather embarrassing for Saru when that happens, because he kind of wants to fit in, and he's the only Kelpian, in Starfleet. So when something like that happens, it's like, oh dear, now that denotes that I'm different.
That's so great.
And it does also denote that he lives in fear. He as a prey species on the planet he comes from. He's always looking over his shoulder, always aware of the next threat. So there's an evolution to be had in season two. If you haven't watched it yet, I don't want to spoil it for you, but he's through season one, he learned to overcome and to find courage within that fear. Season two, there's an evolution that happens that will take him on a journey where fear may no longer be a problem.
Wow.
So that's a very exciting ride to be on with him.
Great. I'm only two episodes in, so I'm enjoying every moment of it.
Great.
As I have done since the 60s, to tell the absolute truth. So, question for you. When you head along to the Dublin Comic Con, I have to suspect there will be Star Trek fans, and Star Trek fans have a reputation for being extremely dedicated, I think would be one way of describing them. How are they around you?
Oh, they're great. The one, you know, the fans you find in person at the Star Trek, especially at the Star Trek conventions that are specific. We had a Star Trek convention in Las Vegas last year, and also one in Birmingham, England, and those were Star Trek sponsored events. So that's when you have diehard loyals that are coming out to, and it was the most lovely experience. They shower you with praise and even weep on you about how the show has affected them and how your character has affected them and how they can relate to you in some way or another.
Oh, wow.
Well, those are beautiful moments. The run-ins that we tend to have with some very zealous fans that are very opinionated might be more online, like in the Twitter universe or Facebook, where their comments can be anonymous and they can say snarky things.
Yeah.
This happens with every Star Trek series that has ever come out now, is that if it's something new, then it's the first initial reaction for some types of fans is a knee jerk of like, no, this is going to be awful. It's not the Trek I know, and that's fine. I think that just proves that they hold it dear, and I want them to keep holding it dear, and just give us a chance to prove ourselves. Hopefully,
right. I think there was almost none of that with Discovery. I think Discovery was a series that Star Trek fans have been waiting for a long time. It was just so beautifully written and acted.
There had been quite a long gap between the last series with Enterprise. I think, what was it, 2005 that went off the air? And here we are now, you know, of course, with Star Trek Discovery started airing in the fall of 2017. So that's quite a long gap to go without Star Trek television.
One final question for you. Will Saru ever find love?
That question has been posed by the writers, but I don't know when or how or with whom or what. These are all really good questions. I would love to see that for him, but in the meantime, he's doing his best to prove himself as the best Starfleet officer that he can possibly be, and that didn't leave a whole lot of emotional room for his romantic side. But I think I would love to see him ease down and rest into some kind of romance, and let's see how that happens.
He just seems to love Michael Burnham from afar. Seems to be the extent of things at the moment.
Michael Burnham and he are she's had her own love interest, of course.
She does.
Saru would not be one of them eventually, because they're really more of a brother sister type relationship.
Right.
You know, they've had each other's backs and in a very family kind of way that it would be weird for that to turn romantic, I think.
Since you've said that, I can't see it progressing. Well, listen, I hope you enjoy Dublin, and I hope the Star Trek fans and everyone else comes to see you are kind to you, and you have a good time when you're with us. Doug, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thanks very much indeed.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.